on this beautiful Christmas Eve morning for Minding Your Health, the show that helps you find ways to take back control in issues regarding your physical and your mental health. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist, an NLP master practitioner, and a certified hypnosis instructor at the Fair Hypnosis Center here in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. And I'm really glad to be here with you every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You know, some people say, why am I hosting a show? You're a hypnotist. Well, hypnosis is a natural state of mind that's a complement to many other modalities in traditional, physical, mental, or alternative healthcare. It can help you be more productive and reach your full potential. Today, we are starting a three-part segment on weight loss. Why weight loss? Because it's the number one resolution on people's New Year's resolution list. And what I find with most of my clients, it seems to show up on that list every single year. You know, January 4th is World Hypnotism Day. And people say to me, why January 4th? And I say, well, because it takes about 4 days to break those New Year's resolutions. So getting rid of excess weight and dealing with the opposite issue of gaining weight can be like peeling an onion. It usually involves multiple issues, emotions, which we're going to start our segment with today. Diet and exercise are also key components. Which food should we eat and how and what kind of exercise should we be doing? So next week, we're going to address these components. My guests are going to be Carol Wickerin, owner of My House Fitness in Hopkins, and Beth Schupenitz, who's owner and consultant and a nutritionist at Inspiring Health Solutions. And then finally, there are the physical components of weight issues, health issues, what's happening inside of your body. So the week after that, we're going to have Dr. Rob Lindsay with Vallejo Health and Wellness Center talking about conditions in your body that can sometimes make losing weight a challenge as well. So that's going to be our three-part segment. So I want to start this morning because we're going to be talking about the emotional issues of weight loss with a personal story, my personal story, because it illustrates how all of these things kind of tie together. About 15 years ago, I got Graves' disease. And for those of you that don't know, that is a autoimmune disease where your body actually my body attacked my thyroid. I gained 70 pounds in just 5 months. I had all kinds of physical issues. Mentally, I thought I was losing it. I was either crying or angry, like could kill somebody kind of angry. So I had that emotional component. I had like boils on my legs. My skin was reacting. It was actually eating my tissue from the inside. I had severe stomach problems. I didn't have a clue what was wrong with me. And the key thing was my heart rate. My resting heart rate was 142 beats a minute. That's like marathon level when I woke up. So I was very, very ill, and I had something they called thyroid storm. So it looked very grave for me. In fact, when the doctor said, well, we know what you have. You have Graves' disease. I looked at her and said, oh, well, should I be really serious about this or should I get a shovel and start digging? And she looked at me and said, I don't think you know how sick you are. And I said, I don't want to know how sick I am because, you know, that might scare me too much. But the point that I make is that it took a long time to resolve this issue. I had eventually had to have radiation once they could get my heart rate down. And then it took almost 2 years to become stable on the synthetic drug. In the meantime, I gained another 70 pounds. And during that time, I developed a lot of other issues, a lot of bad habits. Obviously, I was pretty depressed by all of this, scared to death. So the emotional component was huge for me. Quite honestly, it created a huge problem in my marriage, which ended up dissolving shortly after this time period. So there were lots of layers on the emotional side for me. I also kind of gave up for a while. It was out of my control, the depression. I developed a lot of bad habits. And there were a lot of triggers that developed during this time period. So I tell you this personal story because I know there's a lot of other people out there that have had similar circumstances that were beyond their control, but led to other things that they could control or not. And in my case, there were some things I chose not to. So the story kind of illustrates how all of these things tied together, because when I finally, I fought this for a long time. I've lost 45 pounds. I still have a lot of weight to lose. But it has been a struggle, and it's been a struggle for me in that it's taken time. It has been like that onion for me to peel, where I first started working on the emotional component once I became a hypnotist. And there were many layers that just didn't have to do with just my marriage, that went farther back, my relationship with food and how I felt about food and what food did for me. And food had become protection for me and comfort for me. So there were lots of emotional components there. And then I had this idea of triggers and habits that I had to break and to change and learn how to eat again. And I still had a physical component. And when Dr. Rob comes on in a couple of weeks, I'll bring this back up again, because even though I cleared up one physical issue with a Graves' disease and have that under control, other things developed. So weight, the whole point is, can be very complicated, and it's not a simple fix. And you know, if you've got 10 pounds or 15 pounds to lose, that can be a very different scenario. But I'm kind of speaking to those people out there that have got 50 plus pounds to lose. And let's face it, there's a lot of people like that out there. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. And unfortunately, it comes off a lot slower than what it comes on. So today we're going to talk about this, the emotional underpinnings of getting rid of unwanted pounds. So we're going to look first at the role of a hypnotist in weight loss, because my role is different than other providers. For example, I'm having a diet nutritionist on next, an exercise person next week, because I don't do that. I don't advise my clients on how they should be eating or how they should be exercising. Those are beyond my areas of expertise. I will talk about healthy eating, but we'll stay within safe parameters, because as we'll discuss next week, there is no one perfect fit for everybody in either area. But what I can tell you is what I do with clients. And it involves four basic areas: goal setting, which we're going to talk about in depth, looking at triggers and habits, emotions, and accountability. So those are the things we're going to be discussing today. And the first part of that is looking at goals. First of all, your goals have to be in alignment with your beliefs. And this is where hypnosis really comes into play, because as I've talked about in earlier segments of the show, a lot of times we have beliefs, and those are part of our subconscious mind, we don't even know are there. We have no idea and how what that all looks like. So sometimes we can be wanting to accomplish something and it's contrary to what we hold inside, and we're not even aware of it. So in hypnosis, we can help discover those things that are out of alignment and come to a resolution about that. The next thing about setting goals is that they need to be specific. How much do you want to lose? A lot of people will come to me and say, you know what, I want to be, you know, 140 pounds, and I've never been able to get there. And so the first thing I'll say to them is say, okay, let's go for 138. And they'll look at me like I'm crazy. But truly, 140 in their mind is unattainable. So we need to reframe that to something different. We need to throw how your brain is thinking off about that. If you have a lot of weight to lose, then we're going to look at maybe doing smaller segments at a time. If I had to say, gosh, I've got to lose 100 pounds, I would be overwhelmed by that goal. So we're going to take a look at a very specific goal, but how we do that will be dependent on how much needs to be gotten rid of. Which leads me to another thing. In my office, I never talk about weight loss. Because you know what? we always find what we lose eventually. And with most people in weight loss, we don't want to find it again. And we usually find more than what we got rid of to begin with. So we want to make sure that we, at my office, we talk about getting rid of it or shedding those pounds. Secondly, your goal needs to be measurable. And this can be in pounds, or it could be in dress sizes or shirt sizes. It could also be in fitness and stamina. There's a lot of ways to measure. I know when I put my shirt on this morning that I have on, I noticed it didn't fit tight around my hips. In fact, it's kind of loose, and it's like, wow, I hadn't even noticed that. So it was just a really cool thing to see. So there's a lot of ways to measure. Goals also have to be reasonable. They have to be attainable. Chances are we're not going to be at 60 where we were when we were in our 20s. So we're going to come back in a moment, and we're going to finish talking about setting goals and what's important about that. It's about time to go for a break. So I wanted to let you know that I'm here just to remind you that hypnosis can help you be more productive and reach your full potential. And today we're talking about education on that number one New Year's resolution, weight. And when we come back, we're going to pick up and finish our discussion on goal setting. I'm Roberta Fernandez. Good morning and welcome back. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health. Today, we're starting the first of a three-part series, helping you take back control by empowering you through education on weight. And when we left off, we were talking about goal setting. We talked about goals being specific and measurable and reasonable. The next thing that you need is to have a time frame. You've got to set a goal, and this is the hardest part for somebody because we've done this before and we haven't made it, and then we feel really bad about ourselves. But the reality is, if we put out something ambiguous, well, that's what we're going to get. So we have to have an end in sight. And then the last thing, the thing that is most important about goal setting, is I ask my clients, how does it change your life? Now, most people, when they come to my office, I ask them to list, for whatever reason they've come to me for, 7 positive, and I emphasize that word positive, ways it would change their life. It would benefit them if they were to accomplish what they're setting out to come into my office for. I say positive because most of us think very negative. They'll say, oh, I want less stress. No, that's not what I asked you. That's negative. Well, you want to be calmer, right? Yeah, I want to be calm. Okay, great. We're going to say that. We don't want less stress. So some people will come in with weight loss and they'll say, I just want to look good in my clothes. Well, we all do. And it's not that that's not an important goal, but it's not specific enough, and it doesn't tell me how it's going to change your life. And I have a client to thank for this. I'm always learning from my clients. When I asked her, how does looking better in your clothes change your life? She paused for a moment, and she said, I want my husband to watch me leave the room again. Now, that is motivational. That's about intimacy and her connection and her relationship. Those are the kinds of motivations that are going to enable you to reach your goal, that is going to keep you psyched up to get off that couch and go do some exercise or to not have that third cookie, right? So thinking about your goals in terms of how does it change my life is very, very important. So let's move on now to triggers and habits. Last week, or I think the week before now, I talked about the FAIR acronym. What is FAIR hypnosis? Well, it's focus, associate, repeat, and expect. What you focus on expands. So we want to focus on not so much what we can't have when we're dieting or what we can't do, but what we really want, going back to those goals and that motivation. Associate is when we take all of the pictures in our minds and images we have and things that we do, and we associate them to that area of focus. Remember, what we focus on expands. There's a connection there, and those are triggers. So I'll give you a really good example of that. There was a time in my life through my depression era when I would get home from work and I'd have dinner and then I'd say, I'm just going to go sit and veg out on the couch. And I know a lot of you are going, yeah, I do that every night. But I wanted a bowl of popcorn and a glass of wine. And it soon became a trigger for me. That sofa and that television, the dogs cuddled up in my lap, said, oh, we're missing the popcorn and we're missing the wine. And that certainly wasn't doing anything positive for my weight. So I had associated certain places in my house and activities with food and drink. When we repeat those things often, I could say, oh, I just love dark chocolate. Well, love is one of the strongest passions there is. And when we repeat things often enough with passion enough, or I just hate vegetables, well, there's the opposite end of the spectrum. And both of those things are important in getting rid of weight, right? So when we invest that passion and that repetition, we create habits and make those triggers even stronger. And then the E is for expect. We get exactly what we expect we will. Because our critical factor, that protective mechanism that controls what comes in versus our belief system, well, it's going to keep everything else out. If I don't think I can lose weight, if I don't believe I can lose weight without exercise, then if I don't exercise, I'm not going to lose weight. I don't believe I can. And so that's what's really important about these expectations. So when we talk about triggers and habits, triggers are associations, those things that remind us of something that cause us to take a specific action or have a specific thought. And so as a hypnotist, the first thing I'm going to do is listen for my clients. I'm going to question them about their activities, around their eating, around their physical activity, around their belief systems, around their goals. And I'm going to look for the things that might be triggers for them. I'll give you another example of how this would work. My ex didn't like to fly. And so when we traveled a lot, when we would go to the airport, his distractor for his uncomfortableness with flying would be to go to that store, the newsstand, and buy all the junk food he could buy and magazines and whatever could keep his mind off, you know, that 3-hour flight or that 5-hour flight or whatever. And to this day, and this is years later, I walk into the airport and I am drawn to that newsstand store because that's what we always did. Now, I don't go to it anymore, but that trigger still comes up once in a while. I have that thought, I should go get something to eat. What if I get hungry on the plane? Or what if it gets really bumpy? Or, you know, did I bring enough to do to keep myself occupied? So those triggers can always be there. A really good suggestion I give to my clients that I would give to all of you, if you find yourself eating in front of your computer all the time, maybe you work at home or even at the office, that you only eat in one place in your house. Make it somewhere uncomfortable, like your dining room table, because you're going to feel really foolish in there eating your bowl of popcorn, looking at the wall at your dining room table by yourself. Believe me, the popcorn wasn't that good when I made myself do that. So to eat at only one place at in your home or at work is really helpful. Triggers can be pleasant, or they can be uncomfortable too. And sometimes we have no idea what's being triggered or why. So I had a client, for example, who loved cooking shows and dining out at expensive restaurants. And what we found in hypnosis is that when she was really little, at 5, her parents were going through a divorce and she wasn't aware of that. They were hiding it from her. But she could feel the tension at home and knew there was a lot of turmoil. Mom and dad were fighting a lot. And I guess the night that her parents were going to decide and, you know, what they were going to do, her aunt came over and took her out to dinner. And they went to this really nice restaurant where the aunt knew the chef. And about, you know, halfway through the meal, the chef came out with his big hat on and his white coat and made a big fuss over the child. And to this day, what we found is that those two things triggered, you know, chef chefs on those cooking shows or going to really nice restaurants triggered those old emotions for that client of comfort and of love. And that played a really big part around all of her eating habits. So triggers can be really important things for us. They can be good things or they can be bad. For this client, they were good, but they were causing bad results. So we have to examine what triggers exist, what they're associated with, and become aware of what thoughts and feelings exist when they happen and see what their typical response is. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and when we come back, we're going to keep talking about this wonderful subject, New Year's resolutions and getting rid of those excess pounds. You can contact me at fairhypnosis.com. That's F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com, if you have any questions you'd like to follow up with. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist, and you're listening to Minding Your Health here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Today, we're talking about that number one resolution on most people's list, getting rid of some of those excess pounds. And we're left off talking about triggers and habits. So once we've identified those triggers and become aware of what the client's typical response is, we're going to determine, do they react to those triggers or do they respond? And what I mean by that is reaction is simply a habitual way of reacting without thinking on to something. There's thought involved in it. And so what we try to do with hypnosis is positively replace one or more of the items in this cycle of focus. There's a trigger, here's a reaction. And when we do that, then we can start to change habits. I talked earlier in our first and second show, I think, about how the mind works with habits. Our brains are really, really complicated. We have got over 100 billion neurons in our brain. And on average, any given neuron in the brain is going to interconnect with 5,000 others. So our body and our brains have to have some way to simplify this complexity. So it automates habits. So every night when I went into that living room to turn the TV on, my brain said, oh, TV, couch, popcorn, wine. It was all there in a split second, just like picking up my shoelaces and starting to tie my shoes. I don't think about those things. They just happen automatically because my brain has become very efficient. And we connect thoughts and feelings and behaviors. And we do that through repetition. So the good news about habits is that our automated beliefs and thoughts can be changed. I mean, we change our thoughts all the time, don't we? Every day we change our thoughts many times and have new ideas. So we can learn new habits and substitute things that are much more positive and let some of those old things go. So one of the things that I have my clients do when they come in is they have to start keeping a food diary. Now, usually I have them do this for a couple of weeks, and it really isn't about the food, quite honestly, because remember, I'm not talking to them about diets so much, but I want to know different things for them every time they eat, because I'm looking for these habits and triggers, right? What time of the day did you have your meal or your snack? How hungry were you on a scale of 0 to 10? That's a surprising answer for a lot of people. They realize that they're not eating because they're physically hungry. They're eating because they're emotionally hungry. And let me ask you something. If you're sad or you're bored or you're lonely or you're feeling inadequate, how many cookies does it take to put in your mouth to make those things go away? And there is no answer for that because it's the wrong question, isn't it? Food. Doesn't matter what kind, doesn't matter how much, is never going to satisfy any kind of emotions. It's simply a distractor. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I ask them, you know, to say, why am I eating? What am I feeling while I'm eating this? What did I want and what did I actually eat? Where did I eat? Who was I with? Was I doing anything while I was eating? Was I paying attention to what I was eating or was I just shoveling it in? How long did it take me to eat it? And then how did I feel about that meal or snack after I was done? This is a very conscious mind activity. but it provides a lot of clues to deeper emotional issues or why someone might be eating. So let's transition now into the next domain of a hypnotist working on weight, and that's those emotional issues. We process feelings in a very particular way. And there is a difference between a feeling and an emotion. Although we use those words interchangeably, they're very different. Typically, it works like this. We have a perception. It comes in through our senses. We see something, we hear something, or smell something, or taste something. And it goes into our subconscious mind. And in our subconscious mind, where it's home to our thoughts and our beliefs, we might smell freshly baking chocolate chip cookies. And it might interact with our subconscious mind about grandma. Grandma always was baking cookies and, oh, chocolate chip were my favorite, right? And it is going to take us back to old thoughts or old beliefs. And it creates an emotion. That might be a feeling of love, or it might be a bad feeling. It might remind you, for example, of how sad you feel that grandma has died. And that she's not in your life now. So an emotion is created, sadness, inadequacy, anger, guilt, whatever it is. Now, our subconscious mind has no way to communicate that to our conscious mind. So how do we know what that emotion is? It does it through the body. The unconscious mind creates a feeling in the body. So if I'm feeling sad, I might produce tears. If I'm feeling angry, my face might get flushed. If I'm feeling scared, the hair on the back of my neck might stand up. So it creates a feeling in the body to let us know what is happening, what we really are feeling, what that emotion is. What happens typically with people who start eating for emotional reasons is they feel bad. But they don't want to deal with the emotion. So they choose a distractor. In this case, it's food. It could be gambling. It could be sexting. It could be working too much. It could be retail therapy. It could be a lot of things. We all choose different distractors, but we're going to use food because we're talking about weight. So the food temporarily distracts us from the problem and we feel better, right? We feel better because we're not thinking about it anymore. Remember, what we focus on expands. So we find, wow, that worked. That couple of chocolate chip cookies made me feel pretty good. I'm good to go. But then the feeling comes back, and then we have to distract again. And eventually, we keep up this cycle, and we're having to eat now instead of two cookies, it takes four cookies, or half the box, or maybe the whole box, right? In order for us to keep that bad feeling away, excuse me, and eventually, maybe we forget why we were feeling bad to begin with. We've lost track of that emotion totally. And this leads to frustration because sooner or later, there's not enough cookies that make us feel better anymore. And we get frustrated, a secondary emotion. And because it should be working. It's always worked. Cookies always made me feel better before. Why isn't it happening now? And then our bodies will go through, our minds will go through what we call healthy depression. I don't mean the clinical kind of depression that you need to go see your therapist for. I mean the kind of depression where we say, you know what? I have had it. I've had enough. And you just say, I'm taking a break from this. And you do. And you rest up and you kind of get your head back together and you come back and you're willing to risk the frustration again. Hopefully this time you're not using the same old idea. You're actually dealing with that emotion. So that's the cycle of our emotions. We distract with too much behaviors, eating too much, smoking too much, drinking too much. And it can be many things. So because our brains default to what we do most often, we end up reacting rather than responding thoughtfully. And that distractor then becomes a habit. So one of the first things that we can do for ourselves is to ask ourselves, are we physically hungry or are we emotionally hungry? And there's basically eight things to look at. We want to look at, is our hunger sudden? Because physical hunger comes on gradually. Your stomach's going to rumble. Maybe an hour later, it'll start to growl. It gives us steady clues that it's time to eat. If it's, you know, 1 minute you're not thinking about food and the next minute you're starving, you know, if you go from 0 to 60 in a short period of time, you're probably emotionally hungry. If it's for a specific kind of food, probably emotional hungry. If you feel like you really got to have chocolate or pasta or cheeseburger and no substitute's going to work, it's emotional hunger. Physical hunger, if you're really physically hungry, your body will accept whatever is there in front of you. You can ask yourself, is it above the neck? So a craving begins in the mouth and the mind. Your mouth wants to taste that pizza or that chocolate donut, and your mind can't stop thinking about it. If your hunger is really in the stomach, physical hunger is recognized by sensations. You might have a gnawing or a rumbling or an emptiness or even a pain in your stomach because it needs food. If the urge is urgent, I have to have food now, to instantly ease emotional pain, well, it's emotional hunger. But, you know, if you prefer to eat soon, but it doesn't command you to eat instantly, it's probably physically hungry. If it's paired with an emotional upsetting moment, like your boss yelled at you, or your child's in trouble at school, or your spouse comes home in a bad mood, and you suddenly feel hungry, well, that's emotional. But hunger, real physical hunger, occurs 4 to 5 hours, usually, since your last meal. You might also feel other physical sensations like lightheadedness, or your energy might get really low. Emotional hunger usually involves automatic or absent-minded eating. Eating feels as if someone else is scooping up the ice cream and putting it in your mouth. You might not even notice that you're halfway through that bag of cookies. But physically, being hungry involves choices and awareness of what you're eating. Emotional hunger, you might not even notice or stop eating when you get full. Typically because when we eat for emotion, we're not even thinking about the food we're taking in. We're not paying attention to our body at all. And our body does have built-in mechanisms for giving these signs of fullness when we're eating because we're physically hungry. And then finally, emotional hunger involves feeling guilty about what you're eating. Are you hiding food? You're carrying things, you know, putting stuff in drawers where nobody's going to find it. And do you feel bad after you've eaten? You know, are you constantly making promises to yourself like, I'm going to start my diet tomorrow? You know, it's just been a really upsetting day. You know, I deserve this. That's all emotional stuff. But when we're physically hungry, we realize that food is energy. And I'm not saying that food shouldn't be savored and enjoyed. I absolutely ask my clients to think about the food that they're eating and truly enjoy it. But there's no guilt or shame or anything like that that should be recognized with real physical hunger, because eating is like breathing oxygen. It's a necessary behavior. And that's one of the things that makes losing weight challenging. You know, if I'm working with a smoker, I can just tell them, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to give you suggestions. We're going to work on never smoking again. But eating is different. You have to eat. Because we have to sustain ourselves, it's necessary for life. So sometimes, you know, doing nothing, you know, all the way is easier than just saying, well, I can eat, but I have to really be careful about that. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more about this. We're going to be talking about accountability. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist at the FAIR Hypnosis Center, reminding you that hypnosis can help you be more productive and reach your full potential. And it can help make everything that you're doing, that diet, that exercise, just a lot easier for you to accomplish than you could without that hypnotic effect. We'll be back. Welcome back. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and we're talking about weight loss today on Minding Your Health. Our next topic is accountability. Now, every hypnotist you go see is going to work a little bit differently. And quite honestly, every client that I see has different needs. So the process varies a little bit from client to client, depending on how much weight they have to lose. Typically, for a weight loss client, it will involve 6 sessions and a specific process, but it is different on how much you have to lose. So what's different about using hypnosis for weight loss? And why does it help you be more accountable? Not in just working with someone, because obviously if you've got to come into the office every week for 6 weeks and then maybe once a month after that, you're going to be paying more attention. It doesn't get sidelined, right? That's the benefit of having a coach, so to speak, for you. But what's different about using hypnosis for weight loss is that with most kind of diet plans, they rely only on diet and exercise. And those are two very important components, but so is your physical health. I always recommend, especially for people who have lots of weight to lose, they need to have had a good physical. They need to have had their blood work done. It's important to make sure that there's nothing physical going on. I had no idea how sick I was until my body was out of control. And that can happen. And it happens more often than what you think. So when we talk with Dr. Rob Lindsay about that, we'll go into more detail. Many plans, other kinds of programs, add drugs. They might be appetite suppressants or energy stimulants of some sort, especially for those people that want that quick fix. Hypnosis is not a quick fix. It is something that, however, is sustainable for the long term and will help you do things that are going to take a while and keep you motivated and keep you on track. Some diet plans also use packaged foods. I know, I was on all of them at one time. I've tried them all. And they work for a little while, quite honestly. But they're not sustainable for the long term or in real life scenarios. I can't get out my Nutrisystem meal when I'm going to that holiday party or my girlfriends want to go out to dinner. I have to be able to learn how to eat in a real restaurant with food that I'm not preparing. So what's different about hypnosis too is that we focus on goals and triggers and habits and emotions. We're looking at all the way around that body-mind-spirit connection, not just one piece of it. And we're going to use your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. We're going to use the conscious mind to help you set meaningful goals, to help you identify those triggers and habits and establish and enforce positive behaviors. We're going to have you keep track of things because that's an accountability piece. But we're also going to use the subconscious mind. While you're in hypnosis, we're going to search for and get rid of patterns of thoughts and behaviors that are counterproductive or limiting to how you feel about yourself. We're going to search for feelings and emotions that are linked to beliefs that are no longer useful, and we're going to allow them to be released, that you can let go of them. And we're going to help you powerfully instill your own suggestions that will drive the positive and productive thoughts and feelings and behaviors that you want. It's not about what I want. It's all about you. We're also going to use that subconscious mind while in hypnosis to gain confidence and motivation in reaching your goals. And hypnosis makes compliance so much easier. When Dr. Rob comes on, we're going to talk about a new program that I went on with changing my eating habits. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, I would not have been able to be successful on this plan if I didn't have hypnosis. There's no way I would have made it through that first 2 weeks. So whatever diet or exercise program that you choose to use, it becomes much easier to stick with it. We're also going to use progression work. Progression means looking into the future. Remember, I've talked about in the brain, your brain can't tell the difference between what's real and what's vividly imagined. So we're going to do progression work to imagine things in the future, dangerous situations. Like when you go to that holiday party, how are you going to see yourself acting? We're going to envision success on all levels, with your diet, with your exercise, with the physical and emotional aspects and your goals. So we're going to have you living, progressing in situations that might be tempting for you, and how you really feel and see it happening, visualizing yourself a year down the road or 6 months down the road or whatever's appropriate. Another thing that we do that's really unique for people that have a lot of weight to lose is hypnotic gastric band surgery. Now, obviously, I'm not cutting anybody open, but when I first learned about hypnotic gastric band surgery, I really wasn't a big fan. I'm not a gimmicky person. But the one thing that I could tell you from my own experience is that when you've got 40 or more pounds to lose, your imagination is really helpful. And there's real physical hunger. If a doctor tried to put you on a 1,500 calorie diet, you've probably eaten that at breakfast or at least by lunch, and you're physically hungry. So with a hypnotic gastric band, we actually imagine and visualize hypnotic gastric band surgery, and therefore small amounts of food fill you up and satisfy you. And so we do hypnotic gastric band consulting with my clients on an individual basis, or we have group sessions. And we have a group session. Our next one starts in March. So for those of you that are out there with a lot of weight to lose, it's a total of 9 sessions. We do very tiny groups, 10 people max, so that we can really customize this toward the individual. And because we're talking about resolutions, I want to remind you of a free workshop on January 10th. At 6 o'clock at the Fair Hypnosis Center. It takes more than a resolution. If you haven't gone back and listened to the old podcast, we're going to be going into detail and taking lots of questions on why these resolutions just don't stick, because it is frustrating, like weight loss, to have them keep showing up on our list. So that's kind of the skinny, if you want to say, on weight loss. I want to thank you very much for joining me. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and I'm board certified, work at the Fair Hypnosis Center here in Eden Prairie, and I'm host here every Saturday morning on Minding Your Health, the show that addresses ordinary problems and concerns that impact ordinary people, involving your mental and physical health and the quality of your life. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. There's a little drop down on my homepage on the website at fairhypnosis.com, F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com. And join us here next week on AM 950 when I'll be helping you take back control. We'll have our second of 3 segments on weight loss, talking about diet and exercise with Carol Wickerin, owner of My House Fitness in Hopkins, and Beth Schupenitz, owner and consultant at Inspiring Health Solutions. Have a great holiday, everybody. A safe and happy holiday and a mindful week. I'll see you next week.